chillax. I learned a word tonight. Actually, I saw that on Facebook the other day. I thought that's a pretty neat word. But you're not going to figure it all out. And when people make decisions, they make decisions for a reason that you may not know all the ins and outs. So don't jump to conclusions. All right? We have had, in the last year or so, we've had several people that have decided to change their church home. And they go and they talk to us, give them our blessing. And there's no fences around this place, no locks on the gate. Amen. You're free to come in, free to go. And we're not going to try to force you against the will of God. I believe, but that doesn't mean there's anything wrong with you. You don't believe there's anything wrong with me. Let me say that again. That went over like a ham sandwich at a Jewish picnic. Amen. That doesn't mean there's anything wrong with the church.
That's right.
Doesn't mean anything wrong with the pastor. Amen. Just sometimes people make decisions that are decisions they need to make. And so don't take it personal. Amen. And don't take it as failure. Amen. It's just God knows what He's doing. I just want folks to be saved. Amen. Praise God. I just want people to be saved. So we wish the best, and with everybody, they're brothers and sisters. We love them whether they go here or go somewhere else. We're going to love them just the same. Amen. We're going to talk to them, shake their hand, hug their neck. Amen. We're just going to be real. We're going to be Christians. Amen. So this is not a competition. I said it's not a competition. So I just felt like God to just say tonight, some people, any change, they start wondering what's wrong. Doesn't mean there's anything wrong. Amen. I personally feel like a lot of things are right. Yeah, but we've been having some great services. Some awesome services. God's doing a great, great work. So I just feel good about it. Feel good about the future. Feel good about what God's doing. Amen. So just to kind of let you know, don't get the devil, he'll start focusing your side on all kinds of things if you'll let him. So just don't let him. Amen. The Bible says don't give place to the devil. Don't give place. Don't give him any place. Amen. His place is beneath your feet. That's his place. Amen. So just a word. Amen. And if somebody wants to tell you how bad, just say, sister or brother, prayer room's out over here. Let's go over here and let's just pray a little bit. Pray through this thing. Amen. That's the best solution, right? Amen. I learned a long time ago that whenever I get ready to gripe, have a gripe session, it's not going to help anything. It's better just have a prayer session. Pray through. And then everything gets to be all right all of a sudden. Amen. I prayed for God to change people, and He didn't. I've asked God to change situations, and He didn't. I've asked God to change Johnny Grissom, and He did. And that was the problem the whole time. Amen. If the situation needs changing, He'll change it. If they need changing, He'll change them. If you need changing, He'll change you. Amen. If we'll just give him an opportunity. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, I'm happy to have my daughter home. We're glad that she's going to be with us this summer. She's been going to school since the devil was a little boy. It's been a long time. She started in kindergarten, never stopped. Amen. So we're glad that she's actually taking a summer off. Just come and chillax. Amen. Just not really. She'll have plenty to do. She's got lots of work with her, but nonetheless, at least it'll be a change of scenery. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, let's sing a chorus tonight before we get into the Word of the Lord. Matter of fact, I'm going to sing a song. That'd be all right. This old house I'm living in is needing repair. Amen. The windows and the shutters are letting in the cold, cold air. I say to myself, I'm going to fix it when I get the time. lately, all I've been getting is leaving on my mind. Amen. Worship the Lord. We'll try to sing this here today. This old house I'm living in, it is needing repair. Cause the windows and shutters are letting in the cold, cold air. And I say to myself, I'm gonna fix them when I can get the time. But all I'm getting lately is leaving on my mind. Lately all I've got is leaving on my mind. And it seems that's all I've been thinking about most of the time. Because soon and very soon I'll leave my troubles all far behind. And lately I've got leaving on my mind. So I guess I should be looking for a better place that I can live. But I can't seem to get excited about this old world and what it can give. Oh, I couldn't care less if I could buy it all with a solitary dime. Cause what good would the world do me with leaving on my mind? Oh, lately all I've got is leaving on my mind. And it seems that's all I'm thinking about most of the time. But soon and very soon I'll leave my troubles all far behind. Cause lately I've got leaving on my mind. Sing it with me. Oh, lately I've got leaving on my mind. And it seems that's all I'm thinking about most of the time. Cause soon and very soon I'll leave my troubles all far behind. Cause lately amen. I believe it won't be long. Gabe's going to blow the horn. The eastern sky is going to light up. Jesus is going to appear in the cloud of glory. And we're going to be caught up to meet him in the air. Hallelujah. And the scripture said, so shall we ever be with the Lord. I'm reading tonight from the book of Psalm, chapter 32, verse 1 through 5. Amen. I'm starting later, so that means I'll have to quit sooner. Amen. You hope. All right, I'll do my best. If you'll listen fast, I'll preach fast. How's that? Psalm, chapter 32, verse number 1. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. But day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. Selah. I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Selah. Amen. I want to talk to you tonight, amen, about sin's solution. Hallelujah. We have a God that specializes in solution. Amen. I said he specializes in solutions. Amen. I know people that specialize in complaining. God specializes in solutions. Don't go to him unless you want a solution. Don't pray to him unless you want a solution. Don't take it to the Lord unless you want a solution. Because God specializes in solutions to our situation, to our sins. God bless you. You may be seated. The author of this psalm knew what he was talking about. I don't know of a person that fell further from grace than David. A man, the Bible said, after God's heart. A man that wrote half of the psalms in this book of praise that we're reading from. A man that God took from the sheepfold and put him on the throne and made him king. A man that loved God with all of his heart. But even David let down his guard just a little bit, and then a moment of weakness fell further than he would ever have dreamed that he could fall. Even the king of Israel, even the sweet psalmist of the Old Testament, fell so low. He fell into adultery. And then to cover up his adultery, he committed murder. A man that fell so much farther than he could ever have imagined. And he explains what it felt like. Verse number 3. David said, when I kept silence, my bones waxed old throughout my roaring all the day long. He said, I felt rotten to the core, rotten to the bone. You heard that they use it today boastingly, bad to the bone. But David was saying, I was bad through and through. Even my bones ached. I felt so bad because I knew that I was silent. And they said, in day and night, thy hand was heavy upon me. He said, my moisture's turned into the drought of summer. There's no refreshing in me. There's no joy in my spirit. I'm just dried up like a twig in the desert. He said, I'm empty on the inside. There's nothing left of me but a shell. Amen. And so he explains how people feel and how we feel when we try to hide our iniquities and cover our sins. He said, I was miserable in that situation. But then, verse number 5, he found a solution. He said, I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and my iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Hallelujah. Amen. David found a solution to sin. Yes, he did. Let me define sin tonight. What do we mean when we talk about sin? Well, he uses three words in the 5th verse that describe what sin is. First of all, just the generic word that we use for everything, the coverall, he just uses the word sin. I acknowledged my sin. But what does that word mean? Of course, we're going back here to the Hebrew because this is the Old Testament. And then the Hebrew language, the word for sin meant to miss the mark. That's all it really meant, just to miss the mark. Amen. You take aim, but you miss the mark. Amen. You don't arrive where you want to be. Now, the Bible said all have sinned and come short. By saying come short, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That means that everybody has missed the mark. There's not a human being, no matter how good, on the face of the earth that always hits the mark. He said everybody has come short. You took aim, you gave it your best, but you missed the mark. You fell short. You didn't get there. People that are goal-oriented and driven to achieve and to succeed do not handle it well when they fall short. But I'm telling you tonight, no matter how good you are, no matter how intelligent, no matter how wise and wonderful, no matter how educated, no matter how beautiful or how handsome, no matter how strong, you're going to miss the mark sometime. Everybody has missed the mark. And that's the first definition that the Bible uses about sin. As a matter of fact, James even takes it a step further. He said, to him that knows to do good and does it not, he said to him, it's sin. Well, you know, I've never done anything wrong. Well, did you know to do something right and didn't do it? Then you still sin. Even knowing to do the right thing and not doing it. If the Lord ever told you to do something or to give something or to say something and you didn't do it, he said that's because you missed the mark. You missed the mark. Sometimes we want to paint sin in certain terms, and you know, as long as we don't do certain things, we're all right. You know, I've never committed adultery, or I've never gotten drunk, or I've never done this, I've never done that, I've never committed this horrible sin, amen. And so we want to think we're pretty good. Amen. But he said, if you just so much as know to do the right thing and don't do it, that's it. And could I just say that there are sins of the spirit as well as sins of the flesh. Pride is a sin of the spirit. Arrogance is a sin of the spirit. Gossip is a sin of the spirit. A haughty spirit is a sin of the spirit. Those things, being judgmental, that's just as much a sin as any other sin. They're all coming short, missing the mark. Then he uses another word here in this 5th verse. He says, and mine iniquity have I not hid. The word iniquity is the opposite of the word equity. The word equity means just or justice. It means something that is straight and right and direct. So iniquity being the opposite, then it means something that is perverse, twisted, distorted, and it can also mean simply lawless, without regard to law. Nobody tells me what to do. I don't dance to anybody else's music. I dance to my own too. Amen. And that's the lawless spirit. Amen. Nobody is going to fence me. Amen. So that's iniquity, then it's perversion, twisted, distorted. And so that's another way of talking about sin. Jeremiah, we've quoted this verse many times, said, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" In the book of Mark, Jesus gives us these words, chapter 7, verse 21. He said, "Far from within," everybody say, "from within," "out of the heart," not inside, not, he's talking to what goes in a man doesn't defile him. I was up here chewing on cockroaches today. I'd turn every stomach in the house, but that's not going to hurt me. To eat a few worms is not going to hurt me. It's not what goes in you that's going to hurt you. It's what's in you that comes out that hurts. Jesus said, "Far from within," talking about out of the heart of men, "proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. Above these evil things," all these evil things come from within and defile the man. So it's not the outside we've got to worry so much. We spend so much time on the outside, trying to appear a certain way, trying to look a certain way. But friend, our problems are on the inside. This inner man's the one we've really got to deal with. That's where the iniquity is. That's where the perversion is. That's where things get twisted. That's where things get distorted. That's where the deceit is. Oh, we've got to be very careful about the inner man. The Bible said that we are to guard our heart with all diligence. With all diligence, he said, because from that's what all these evil things proceed out the heart. So we have to guard the heart. Amen. So sin then is iniquity. It's perversion, it's a twistedness, and distortion. It starts with a thought, doesn't it? Isn't it amazing how our thoughts can get so twisted? Amen. When you start trying to justify and convince yourself it's okay, sin. It's okay to do this. Have you ever had people go so far as to say that God told them it was all right? It was okay for me. He knows that I have this weakness and it's okay for me. No, it's not. That's twisted. That's perverted. That's distorted. God holds everybody the same standard. He doesn't excuse and cut slack for one, not another. Man, so we've got to understand then that that's what iniquity is. It's when we twist things and distort things and get things out of kelter, out of, they're not just, they're not straight, they're not right. Amen. And then he uses the word transgression. Transgression. The Hebrew word for transgression simply means stepping across or crossing over the line. Stepping out of bounds. Now, the fact of the matter is, Christians have boundaries in their life. Every Christian has boundaries. Now, I know people say, "Don't fence me in." Don't want any boundaries. Just want to live life footloose and fancy free. No boundaries for me. Well, if you're going to live godly, you're going to have boundaries. This book has boundaries in it. There are some things that if you're going to be like Christ, there are going to be some boundaries. There are going to be places you won't go. There are going to be some things you will not do. There are going to be some things you'll not say. There will be some ways you're not going to act. Amen. And because there are some boundaries. And to cross over a boundary that God put there is a transgression. You just simply stepped out of bounds. Amen. Anybody know what I'm talking about here tonight? You ever got off in territory? That's what happened to Adam, wasn't it? When the Lord asked that penetrating question, Adam, where are you? Because he stepped over the line. And he didn't know where he was. Lost. Just lost. Not knowing where you are. Because you crossed the boundary. Amen. We've said it before that, you know, the devil is on a chain tonight. He can only do so much and go so far. You remember when the devil wanted to tempt Job, he kept having to go back to God and ask permission. And the Lord would say, you can do this, but you cannot do that. There's a boundary here. And no, you can't touch, you can take everything, is take his stuff, but you can't touch his body, can't touch his health. God put a boundary there. After he took everything and he maintained his integrity, then the devil said, you just let me touch his body with sickness and he'll curse you to the face. God said, all right, I'm going to move the boundary a little bit. You could go this far, but no further. I'm just saying tonight that God puts boundaries in the Christian life. God allows things. Now you understand something else tonight. God may allow one person to go something through something he'll not allow another person to go through. Somebody said, that's not fair. It is if you're God. Because he said, my grace is sufficient for you. God allows things. He knows where the boundaries are. And he knows what you can stand, what you can take. He said, I'll not put more upon you than you can bear. He said, but with every temptation, he said, I'll make a way of escape. I'll make a way out of it. Amen. Listen to me. We can never blame God when we fail, because there was a way of escape if we had just found it. And we had just taken it. If we had learned how to zip the lip just a little bit sooner, right before we stepped over the line. Transgression. So that's what a transgression is. It's to step over the line. Amen. And so David, he mentions all three here. Sin. He talks about iniquity. He talks about transgression. But also we find in these same verses solutions for all of these things. Let's go back to verse number 1. In verse number 2, he said, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven. Everybody say forgiven. Whose sin is covered. Everybody say covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not. Say imputeth not. Iniquity. And the new spirit is no guile. So there were three areas of sin, and there's three ways that God deals with transgression. First of all, the Bible says that he said that blessed is a man unto whom, or blessed is a man whose transgression is forgiven. Wasn't it Joel Hemphill wrote that beautiful song? Said the sweetest word that I ever heard was, I forgive. Hallelujah. One of the greatest things you'll ever hear in your life is even when people say, I forgive. But how wonderful is it when God says, I forgive. Hallelujah. In the Old Testament, the word forgiveness had to do with taking a burden off of one and putting it on another to take it away. Hallelujah. Isn't that what happened in the scapegoat? That's what David probably had in mind when he said, My transgressions forgiven. It's been transferred from me just to a scapegoat. Hallelujah. Because the Bible, in the law, in the Day of Atonement, they'd bring a scapegoat. And the priest would lay his hands on the goat, and he would pronounce all the sins of Israel on this goat. And symbolically, sin was being transferred from Israel to the scapegoat. And then a priest would take that scapegoat out into the wilderness far, far away so that nobody would ever see him again. Hallelujah. And God symbolically was saying to Israel, I'm going to take your sins and I'm going to transfer them. And then I'm going to put them in a place where you'll never see them again. Woo! That's forgiveness I'm talking about tonight. No wonder it was exciting when John lifted his eyes and his voice on that day and said, Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Hallelujah. The Bible says that God put upon him the iniquity of us all. Amen. And at Calvary, our sins were transferred from off of us onto the Lamb of God. And he took our sins and became sin for us, that we should be the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. That's how God dealt with sin. He transferred it. He took it off of Johnny Christian. And he put it on Jesus Christ. Oh, I'm unworthy. I don't deserve that. But he took it anyway. Because I couldn't take it. I couldn't in it. I couldn't do anything about it. But his righteousness is so much greater than my iniquity. And his purity is so much greater than my sin. Hallelujah. There was an imbalance. And we could transfer the sin of the whole world on Jesus Christ. And he could bear it all. And did for your sake and for mine. So that's what it means to be forgiven. Hey, I'm telling you something. Forgiveness is not cheap. Let me say that again. Forgiveness is not cheap. Somebody said grace is free, but it's not cheap. It may not have cost us anything, but it cost him dearly. It cost him everything. It's free, but it's not cheap. Amen. Forgiveness is free. It's not cheap. Amen. And so the word forgiveness, when he talks about forgiving our iniquities, amen, he says, I transferred them. And he transferred them unto himself and became our sacrifice so that our sin could be remitted. And then he uses the word covered here. In verse number 1, he said, whose sin is covered. The word covered has a very interesting etymology. It comes from the same root word as the word mercy seat. Hallelujah. The mercy seat. If you remember in the temple and in the tabernacle, there was an Ark of the Covenant that was a box, a golden box. And on top of it, and inside it contained the Ten Commandments, the tablets of the law, and Aaron's rod that budded at one time a pot of manna. And then over the top of that was a golden lid that is called the mercy seat. The mercy seat was made of beaten gold, and it had two angels, and their wings were spread over that mercy seat, that saddle that formed the bottom of that lid. And on the Day of Atonement, when the high priest would come in there, he would take the blood from off of the altar and the sacrifice, and he would sprinkle blood on the mercy seat. And he would pronounce the sins of Israel, and he would confess the sins as he sprinkled the blood on the mercy seat. And the mercy seat was covered by the mercy of God. Amen. I'm telling you today, when God has mercy on you, he covers your sin. But it's not a cheap thing. It's not an easy thing. Amen. It cost him something dear. amen, to cover our sin. Now hear me, God doesn't sweep your sins under the rug somewhere. God doesn't just cover them up with more dirt somewhere. But God covers your sins with His blood. God covers your sins with His righteousness. God covers your sins with His justice. God covers your sins with His own mercy and grace and goodness. He covers your sins in a place that cannot be found. Amen. Hallelujah. God has a way of getting rid of our sins, of dissolving our sins. Amen. Until they are completely taken away. Amen. God covers your sins. And then he said, verse number 2, blessed is a man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity. Imputeth not. What does the word impute mean? The word impute means to record. It means to reckon. It means to count. It's an accounting word. It's when you impute, it's to write it down and record it. Amen. So when he says, blessed is the man to whom the Lord imputeth not, that means the Lord didn't write it down. It's not recorded anywhere. Hallelujah. That's why Jesus said that, blessed are we if our name is written in the Lamb's book of life. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, what I've always love about since somebody told me about it is David said this in one of the Psalms. He said, blot out my transgressions. In Bible times, when the ink that they used had no acid in it. The ink that you and I use today has acid, and it literally eats into the paper. That's why you can't erase it without tearing things up, because it literally burns itself into. But in Bible times, that ink, the ink didn't do that. When they wrote on the parchment, it didn't have the ink property. So if they made a mistake, they had what they called a blotter. And they could reach over and they could get a hold of the blotter and they could blot it out. They could wipe it clean. Hallelujah. They could start all over. Hallelujah. You ever wish that life had a delete button? That's what I like about computers. I did not like typewriters. Thank God we're past that. I hope I never have to type on another typewriter in my life. Amen. If you ever saw something I typed, it had more of that white out than it did words. I'm not good with typewriters. They're very unmerciful and unforgiving. Amen. I don't like typewriters. I like computers that's got a delete button. When I get through, I can go through, if I don't like anything I wrote, I can just go down there and highlight it, hit one button, boom, it's gone. Amen. Thank God for delete. Amen. But that was a God idea before it was a man idea. Before Stephen Jobs and Bill Gates ever thought about delete, God already had that figured out. Hallelujah. Amen. It's what he meant by imputeth not. Hallelujah. He did that for David way back in the Old Testament. Amen. I'm talking about David. He sinned greatly. His sin was atrocious. His sin was unthinkable. But God hit the delete button and he blotted it all out. And one day when David stands before the throne of God, and here comes Satan the accuser. Amen. And over here's Jesus Christ the righteous. And Satan starts listing all of David's sins. God, you remember. God says, don't remember. Well, you remember when Dayton? I don't remember. Amen. There's no record here. It's not written down. Woo! Hallelujah. He said, I got a book here that's got all the record in it, but there's nothing written down. Amen. Hallelujah. All he can see is blood-stained pages covered by the blood of the Lamb. Amen. He's washed it all away. Amen. That's what David's talking about here when he says he imputeth not. He blotted it all out. It's not in the book anymore. It's in my mind. It's in your mind. It's in the devil's mind. It's in people's mind. But it's not in God's mind. Amen. People may talk about what you've done for years, but if you go ask God about it, he said, I don't know what you're talking about. God has a good rememberer, and God has a good forgetter. He's able to blot. My, what a great capacity. Amen. What a great capacity. But God has the ability just to blot it all out. And it'll never be remembered against us again. That's God's ability. Amen. He remembers what he wants to remember. He forgets what he wants to forget. Amen. And then I'm going to close looking at verse number 5 one more time. He said, I acknowledge my sin. First thing you got to do if you want your sins dissolved, you want a solution, he said the first thing you got to do is acknowledge your sin. You got to come to grips with it. Quit making excuses. Huh? Quit blaming it on somebody else. Amen. False and others I can see, praise the Lord, it's done to me. And instead you got to sing a new song. You got to sing, it's not my brother or my sister, but it's me, oh God, standing in the middle of the way. Me. You got to acknowledge I'm the person of God. It's not anybody else's fault. Somebody said they made me mad. Well, you let them. Huh? Amen. The only power people have over us is the power to allow them to have. People cannot make you angry unless you let them make you angry. But you know what they said about me? What was it, true? And even if it was, what difference does it make? Just their opinion. Now, it's easy for me to say that. But I'm no different than you. I struggle when people say things I don't like. Amen. Or they, you know, do that peculiar way. Makes me angry. Cutting me off. Running in front of me. Amen. I have to get a hold of self. Repent. Because I fall short. God, forgive me. I'm trying here, but I missed the mark again. Stepped over the line. Sorry. Amen. I know it's written down, but if you could please just reach over there and get the blotter one more time. Amen. He said, I acknowledged. And then he says, mine iniquity have I not hid. Quit trying to cover it up. I have a little Boston Terrier. Anything that looks like a bone. You know, we bought her bones and all kinds of play. She will not play with anything that looks like a bone. If it's a ball or something else, she'll have a blast. But if it looks like a bone, she is going to try to hide. And she'll go over, poor thing, she don't know the difference in carpet and outside. It's brown or was. And she'll take that bone and put it over in the corner, and she'd rub her nose raw trying to cover that bone. When I saw that, I thought that's just like people trying to cover their skin. God sees it so clearly. Doesn't matter what you put on it. Doesn't matter how you try to justify it. Doesn't matter how you try to make it right. It's still there. He sees it just as clear as the time that it was coming. You can't cover your sin. David said, I didn't hide it. Amen. Only God can cover. He has a covering that will completely send it where no one will ever see it again. God can cover your sin. He covers it with his blood. And then lastly, he says, verse number 5, he said, I will confess. Somebody say confess. You need to get it out. You know what's really good to do? It's to go somewhere by yourself and tell God what you've done. Verbally. it out. Sometimes it seems a lot worse when you have to hear it. Huh? I said it seems a lot worse sometimes. It's one thing to say it in my mind, but it's another thing for my ears to have to hear it. Now, I'm not talking about confessing to a man here. That really doesn't do a whole lot of good, honestly. You can go tell people what you've done, and about all you've done is not much. Amen. If you need to talk to somebody for counseling, that's one thing. Yeah, we'll be glad to talk with you. Amen. But I can't absolve your sins, and no other man can. I don't care how good his incense is. He can't absolve your sin. Amen. He can't make water holy enough to wash it away. Amen. He can't do anything about your sin. All he can do is counsel you and maybe help you a little bit, maybe make you feel better, maybe give you some encouraging words. But a man cannot remit your sin. There's one that can. He said, I confess my sin. So you get off somewhere by yourself and you tell God, God, you know what? I shouldn't have thought that. And then tell him what you thought. God, you heard what I said today. I'm so sorry. You know I don't talk like that anymore. I'm sorry. I know better than to say things like that. I'm sorry. I messed up, Lord. I'm so sorry. Please forgive me. It's good to confess to the Lord and tell him. Tell him. Amen. We need to stay sensitive to God, folks, and not get insensitive to sin. We can get insensitive to God, and we'll cut ourselves a lot of slack. And we'll start excusing ourselves. Yeah, we will. We'll start saying things like, oh, that's just me. That's the way I am. No, that's the old view. That's not the Christian you. The Christ in you will make you more Christ-like. Anybody know what I'm talking about here tonight? Can we be honest enough with ourselves to want to change and not just excuse ourselves? I don't know. But I never want to just be satisfied with less than what I'm supposed to be. I don't want to keep stepping over the line and not step back and recognize that I stepped over the line. I don't want to miss the mark and just say, well, it's okay. Everybody else misses the mark. No. That's not good enough. It's not good enough. I've got to hit the mark. And I've got to hit it every time. And when I miss, I got to step back and say, God, I missed. Until hitting the target is what I do almost all the time. And missing the target is very rare. Could I say this today? Amen. And I don't want to offend anybody, but I've heard people get to the point that there's a doctrine that goes around that we sin every day. You don't have to. And as a matter of fact, if you do sin every day, something's wrong. Sin should become rare for the Christian, not normal. Sin should be rare for the Christian, not normal. You say, but we're all sinners. No, we're not. Once you've been covered, once you've been forgiven, once grace has come into your life, you're not the same person you used to be. And you can hit the mark. And you can toe the line. Amen. Yes, you can. You really can. And it needs to be our mark in life. Not that we are constantly missing the mark. If we're constantly missing, we need to stop and do some examination. We need to just have an old-fashioned praying through and say, God, this has got to stop.
All right.
This has got to stop. I can't keep doing this. This is not right. The Holy Ghost, greater is he that's in me greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in thee than he that is in the world. We are more than conquerors through him that loved us and gave himself for us. We can be victorious. And we must. Could we stand together tonight? Amen. Sin has a solution. Jesus is the solution. Hallelujah. Amen. Aren't you thankful to the Lord tonight that he not only sees our sin, but he's done something about it. He's given us a solution to it. Amen. He doesn't just sweep it under the rug somewhere, but instead, he covers it with his blood. The Bible said that he removes them as far from us as the east is from the west. You know what's beautiful about that verse? Amen. You see, if God said he'd put your sins to the north, then you could find them again. Because north and south are different than east and west. When you're going north, there comes a time you turn and you start going south. But if you start going west, you'll always be going west. And if you start going east, you'll always be going east and never change. So that's why you'll never meet your sins again. Amen. You'll be like a dog chasing his tail, a short-tailed dog. You'll never get it. Amen. You'll never meet your sins again. Once God covers them, they're covered. Amen. Once he blots them out. Once he hits the delete button, they're gone. And you'll never find them again. They won't even find them on your hard drive. Amen. They're blotted out for good. What a good God. What a great God. Amen. Could we lift our hands right now and give God thanks tonight for his solution to our sins? God, I thank you tonight because you have a solution. You're not just into excuses, but you have a solution. Amen. You're a God that has made a way of righteousness. Amen. As a matter of fact, the Bible said that there was a lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Before there was ever a sin, there was already a sacrifice. And before there was ever a transgression, there was already a Savior. Before I ever needed you, you were already there. You already, God, had it figured out before man ever failed and before sin ever came into the world. Hallelujah, the kind of God that you are. A God of solutions, a God of righteousness, a God of goodness, a God of perfection, a God of purity. I thank you, Lord, and I strive, and I want to be like you. Amen. God, help my thoughts to be pure thoughts. Amen. Help me, oh God, my words to be truthful and to be pure. Help my heart, oh God, to be righteous before you.
And impossible.
Amen. Help me not to be deceitful. Help me, Lord Jesus, to not be untruthful. But help me, God, always to be honest. Help me to be open. Help me to be transparent before you. Amen. Help me, God, to be able to see clearly, that I would be able to see thoughts and see my own sins. Hallelujah. So that I can do something about them. Help me not to hide anything, but to be open with you so that you can deal with the things in my life that you need to deal with. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
All the pages have been stained by the blood he shed for me.
Thank you, Jesus.
Praise God.
Thank you for your purity.
I can't read them,
and your righteousness,
neither can
and
he.
Your goodness.
What's been forgiven is forgotten. They're impossible to see. From blood-stained pages shed by blood shed for me. Oh, the pages have been stained by the blood he shed for me. Praise God, I can't read them, neither can he. What's been